Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you. Just filling in for Jim Rome and fending off invitations to play golf with Gary Ritt and have him barbecue for me.
Finally.
I've been waiting on that invite. Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket Cam. Phone number on the show here on Jim Rome, 1-800-636-8686. Rome at HaveATake.com, at Jim Rome, JimRome.com. If you're on hold and you have a phone line that works well, unlike poor Billy in Toronto, stick around. We'll get to you. We'll get you on there. Canadian hitman going after his own fellow Canuck tweeted, "Hey, Bill. Was Billy in Toronto calling while falling from the CN Tower?" It's really funny until the end of that image. I mean, it's a pretty funny tweet. And Bella B, usually Bella B's pretty nice. Thankfully, we can't hear Billy in Toronto's call. Pretty good. All right. Oh, I love the crickets. The crickets drop. It's really, really universally applicable to a lot of different segments. For example, you ready? I'm just going to... Here is the recording of the Lakers war room in responding to Rob Pelinka's approach to free agency. Nice. Or we were able to capture, in an audio sense, every Chicago Cubs fan's reaction to Jed Hoyer tearing the team apart. Or... this was the reaction when Ritt showed up today in the Chop and Broccoli shirt. From Ritt. I respect it. I didn't know what you're going to do. I thought you were going to just panic and go with silence, and I was going to let it ride.
Mm.
You sound like Homer Simpson there. And to be fair, you kind of look like Homer Simpson from here. A little, right? Like there's a little. No?
That's not a good call.
You can't run the host. Believe me, there are the same seven people listening who would like that to be true, but I'm here. 1-800-636-8686. Ritt doesn't know that his microphone doesn't go on the air. So he talks to you, but he doesn't understand. He's only been here for like 3 years. It's okay. Chocula, you're on, I believe was the response.
Chocula.
All right, so Mark Medina is going to join me here on the Jim Rome Show in about 40 minutes. We'll talk NBA free agency. A lot of moves in place now. Kemba Walker, if you miss this, buyout from the Thunder, expected to sign with the Knicks. I like the move. I don't love it. I think it makes him a little bit better. It's an affordable way to add him. Vegas, the odds on the Knicks winning an NBA championship did not change an iota. We're waiting on Kawhi Leonard to make up his mind. I know he's probably going to be a Clipper. The notion that it's an absolute reality, to me, is wishful thinking. If it were a done deal, Kawhi would have done that deal. He's so unpredictable. He's so hard to read. Big news, I think, that's been a little overlooked, and it's been overlooked by me. I did not mention it in the first hour here on the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network, is that John Collins, who has a ton of upside, was in a contract dispute with the Atlanta Hawks, who was great for stretches of that run, had some games where there were duds, and that's going to happen when you're a young guy, has agreed to a five-year, $125 million extension. Turned down, I think it was $480. Man, you can play hoops a little bit or a lot, and you're going to make a ton of cash. And then there's the Chicago Bulls, who have been and also ran an afterthought for a really long time, which, for us NBA fans, is a little bizarre because most of the teams that have made an imprint on the history of the sport in a way that's forever lasting, you're the Lakers, you're the Celtics, you have been able, from all the way back to your glory years, right? From Magic, from Bird, from Kareem, from Russell, to maintain a certain level of excellence. It's not always, it's not absolute in every case, but each of those organizations have been competitive going back the last 40 years, every two or three years. The Lakers have obviously won multiple championships in this century. Celtics have won. But no one's had more success, I'll argue, to him blue in the face ever in a, I mean, I guess it's actually an 8-year stretch because of the 2 years Jordan took off. But what the Bulls did with Michael Jordan is the most dominant, remarkable, successful thing in our lifetimes in sports and team sports. I mean, these guys never faced an elimination game in a game 7 in the NBA Finals. And Jordan won 3 in a row, which, as you know, is really hard to do. Just went to play baseball, came back, won 3 more. And the Bulls, the moment he left, have been, for the most part, a disaster. They had that short run with Derrick Rose, and I love that Derrick Rose got paid by the Knicks, even if he got a little overpaid, when Rose was young and healthy and became the youngest MVP ever in the history of the sport. Derrick Rose, by the way, will be probably the only MVP in the history of the NBA not to make the Hall of Fame. I guess if he keeps grinding out, maybe he'll get a little nostalgic vote. But this is a Bulls team that hasn't been relevant for a long time, consistently until now. And it began last summer. I was actually filling in for Jim when the news came down that Billy Donovan had decided to become the head coach of the Bulls. And everybody just, and I texted some NBA sources, what the hell's going on? Nobody had a good answer. Hapless front office, not a lot of talent, all these other jobs where he would have been in an instant position to be competitive. And obviously the Bulls sold them on a vision they were willing to pull off. Because you look at the moves they've made. They went and they got Nikola Vucevic last year. Big trade, interesting trade. Didn't really matter. Like, it's not like Chicago is going to be relevant. It was sort of, it was interesting. Zach LaVine has emerged into a great player. Emerging superstar. And I know a lot of you probably haven't seen LaVine play a lot. And he hasn't been dynamic at the Olympics. If you're watching those games at 3 in the morning Eastern time, he's a great player. And then you roll into this free agency and they spend money on Lonzo Ball, which I love. I love the Lonzo signing. In the market today, what the NBA pays, and remember, there's a cap, there's a floor you have to pay guys. Players are guaranteed a certain amount of money in a certain pool, half basically all the income that comes in, and there's a cap. So it's going to inflate salaries in that mid-range for guys like Lonzo Ball. Unless you eliminate the max you can pay a player. And my boss at CBSSports.com, Adi Joseph, who is an NBA guy by trade, was texting me the other day. It was an amazing idea. And I actually love it. I'm going to write about it. I'm going to steal his idea and write about it. His proposal is you don't change anything other than there's no max. You can pay, there's some minimum that's maybe higher, but if you want to pay LeBron James $90 million, and then you can't, the next closest guy is 20, that's the way that it is. Because it will avoid these contracts and situations where Duncan Robinson gets Michael Jordan money and Lonzo Ball gets Michael Jordan money. But in this reality, today, Lonzo Ball, Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, who signed with Chicago, Patrick Williams, who was their 4th, I want to say, overall pick in a recent draft, and Vucevic, that's a really good basketball team. Billy Donovan's a really good basketball coach. I mean, let's go through it. Lonzo is not even a good. He is a great on-ball defender. He is a great defensive player. He has remarkable court vision. Out on the break in particular, he's going to set these guys up. LaVine is probably going to emerge. He's already there as one of the best scorers in the NBA. DeMar DeRozan's an interesting case for me because he's a great teammate by all accounts. I like the guy in my very limited interactions with him, right? But you can tell he's a good dude and he wants to win. He has played for a Raptors organization where they had some success. Now he left and then they won an NBA championship. Went to the Spurs where you learn a lot about basketball under Greg Popovich. It's just his game is so weird. He's got a great mid-range game. He's a good offensive player. I don't love him in most spots, but I like him on this team. Patrick Williams is a good player, and Vucevic, I think, is a great player. 3 of these guys have been all-stars. They have 3 all-stars on this team. The Chicago Bulls, and I know Alex Caruso's not a stud, not a superstar, and that's another guy who got paid so much money for what he can do. But off the bench, as a ball handler, can run the offense at times, good shooter, This Bulls team is, they might be the fourth or fifth best team in the Eastern Conference. So I know I got to put the Nets on there. And the thing with the Nets is they're either the best team by a wide margin or they're what they were last year, which is disappointing. I don't believe they're going to stay durable, but we'll see. So they got the Nets. This is no particular order. Milwaukee, Wisconsin fans, please don't get mad at me. It's not me forgetting the Brewers like I did a couple days ago. It's not in an order. But the Nets are a top team in the Eastern Conference. The Bucks are a top team in the Eastern Conference. At least in the regular season, Philly's a top team in the Eastern Conference. And I want to add this too. I don't think Ben Simmons works. I don't think he works. This notion that Philly is going to win a bunch of games and then go out in the first round of the playoffs last year is just dumb. If they don't make any changes, if there's not a single change, Philly can still beat every single team they play in a seven-game series the way they're constructed. I don't think they will, but they can. And a big part of the reason, by the way, Ben Simmons doesn't work is because Tobias Harris is getting paid superstar money. He's getting paid Jimmy Butler money. And breaking news, Elton Brand, he ain't Jimmy Butler. But that's a really good Sixers team. I think they're going to move Simmons. I think they're going to get a big price. And I think it's probably going to be worth whatever someone spends if he goes to the right spot. The Miami Heat are up there. And after the Heat, for me, I think the Bulls have leapfrogged the New York Knicks. I think they're a better team now than the Knicks. I mean, there are some guys in that Knicks team that are interesting. I like the Kemba Walker move a lot. And Julius Randle was great. But the Knicks are a superstar scorer away from being a playoff contender. If you put Zach LaVine on that Knicks team, I think the Knicks are, they're certainly an Eastern Conference contender and maybe better. The Bulls have everything you need in the modern NBA to be successful. They have defensive players. They have a guy in LaVine who can get his own shot. They've got a guy in Vucevic who's an all-star who stretches the floor and can do a lot of different things. And they've got someone in DeRozan who can get buckets when the going gets tough. I love Chicago's moves. And this is how, if you're going to be bold and you're going to spend money, you do it. You do it with a vision and with a plan. Because there was a lot of criticism when the Bulls offered Lonzo that money. But they obviously knew what they were doing. Does Lonzo Ball at 4 years and $85 million, when it's said in a sentence without any context, sound sort of ridiculous? Yes. Yes, it does. But do you care what he's making when he's paired with LaVine and Vucevic and DeMar DeRozan now? I don't. I'm not trying to keep out Patrick Williams, but Vucevic, DeRozan, LaVine, and Lonzo are all good enough to be... I mean, Lonzo's not an all-star, but he can certainly be an all-NBA defensive team player and an impact guy. I love what the Chicago Bulls have done. And you juxtapose with the Lakers. They got... This Bulls team is mostly young. They're athletic. They're going to be anchored by a rising star in LaVine. Now, they got to pay LaVine. I know he's a little put out. He wants more money. I get it. DeRozan's a veteran. And you juxtapose that with the Lakers, who've got LeBron, who's amazing but getting older, Anthony Davis, who's amazing but always injured, Russell Westbrook, who's not amazing but pretends to... And look, I actually like Westbrook. A lot of radio hosts, a lot of people in media, and that's not even fair, a lot of human beings don't like to criticize people they like or they see every day. It can be, not that I see Russ every day, it's socially awkward, whatever. Never going to lie to you. Westbrook is the worst player in NBA history who puts up those kind of stats. He just is those kind of stats. I mean, this triple, who cares that he does a triple-double? It doesn't matter. You know, if I can Alex Rodriguez this thing, Alex Rodriguez is an amazing player. But if you can't hit the baseball in the postseason, it doesn't matter. Westbrook's game does not translate to playoff basketball. And it's so unfair. It really is, because I wouldn't feel sympathy if it was a guy that was not likable, was a phony, like Chris Paul, for example. Got to get that shot in there. If he was the, I'm going to go tennis, Nick Kyrgios of the sport, where he's like talented, just doesn't care about, doesn't like the game, or was a bad teammate, or was a bad guy, any of it. Westbrook is a great person, is authentically who he is. That doesn't always make him likable, but who cares? I'll take authenticity over phony likability any day of the week. He desperately wants to be a great basketball player. He's been willing to subjugate his ego in order to play with Harden and Bradley Beal. He came back home. He's a great dude, man. I would love Russell Westbrook to get a ring. of all the people that are out there that I don't think are going to win championships because of their own shortcomings, Russell Westbrook is the player I most want to be wrong about. I'm not a Lakers fan, but I got a lot of friends who are. I am a Russell Westbrook fan. He's just not, as a source told me the other day, he's just not very good at basketball. And that's not my words. That's an NBA source's words. Who knows what he's talking about? I haven't even gotten to Dwight Howard, who's going to start on a team. Dwight Howard's going to start on a team that has NBA championship hopes. And if he doesn't, Mark Gasol's going to do it. I have been watching Olympic basketball. Gasol is 36 going on 52. That's where he's at. I'm going to do another soccer joke. He's got a Neymar body right now. And if you're not following international soccer, that's not a good thing. If you can see me on CBS Sports Network, it's basically the same thing. It's basically the exact same look. That's why I'm sitting in a chair talking about sports, not trying to be Marc Gasol or Neymar, competing in those sports. I know Malik Monk's a nice addition. I think the Bulls had a better offseason. I do. I think the Bulls had a better offseason than the Lakers. And it wouldn't shock me if next year's Suns or Hawks team, which, by the way, a little humble brag here on the Jim Rome Show, I got the tape to prove it. Executive producer of the Jim Rome Show, Tom DiBenedetto, was the executive producer of Writer Than You, my show. He can tell you, I called that. I got mocked, and I called it. The Bulls are going to be the team next year, I think, that make that jump. All right, 1-800-636-8686, RomeAtHaveATake.com, JimRome.com, at Jim Rome. All right, clones, it's your chance. You're up. It's you. Well, I already got run on this show. Has a host ever gotten run? To be fair, I did listen to a... I loved Trainwreck Thursdays, where Rit once dropped a drop on a guest, and Jim had to explain, you don't do that in radio. But there's no rules today. You can run me. 1-800-636-8686. Chopping broccoli, Rit, if you want to give us a call. Holler at us. We'll also talk some Dodgers, Astros, next year on the Jim Rome Show.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
All right, what's up? Jim Rome Show. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Odyssey app. I'm Bill Ryder. I am filling in. Thanks for hanging out. JimRome.com, at Jim Rome, RomeAtHaveATake.com. You can hit me up, sports, R-E-I-T-E-R, 1-800-636-8686. Jim, still in Wisconsin? Probably. Wisconsin's awesome, man. Still in Wisconsin. As Jim Rome said, if you have a problem with Wisconsin, you have a problem with you. Someone who's from that part of the
country. Eagle River!
Yeah, man. We had a call from Appleton the other day. Love Appleton calls. My mom used to work as a pharmacist there. Family lived in Green Bay for a while. So you got me today. Sklar Brothers in tomorrow. Today, Wednesday? It's hard to keep track of the days when you're having this much fun. 1-800-636-8686. Let's take a phone call. Let's go to New York. Let's talk to Fred. Fred, what up, buddy? You're on the Jim Rome Show. Now you're on the Jim Rome Show.
Dollar Bill, what's up, my brother?
What up, dude? What's up,
Fred? I'm in Utah still. I remember I was your first call on your meeting show.
I remember that. It's been a minute. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
I'm great.
But my Knicks are moving in the right direction. I love what Worldwide West and Leon Rose are doing. And to add two scorers like Fournier and Walker to build on what they were already building on, those guys, people sleeping on them, they're on the come, and they're saving their money. They didn't sell the farm for Dame, which I was happy about, which they did for Melo. And, they, you know, they're making decent moves, and I'm not crazy. I'm not thinking, oh, we're going to win the ring this year or whatever, but just to see we're on the come. And then for you to call my Giants, hapless Giants, we have four rings, you know, two in the last, you know, few years or so. So teams like the Cowboys and Browns, you know, those guys are, you can say hapless because they're not doing anything or producing any rings. But the Giants, they only come. I like Joe Judge because he changed the what Michael had done. He changed the whole dynamic of our team. And, you know, we're on the come. They're going to have, you know, flare-ups in camps. That happens all the time, little small stuff. But I listen to guys like Tiki Barber, and if he loves them, I love them. If Nick Saban loved them and Belichick loved them, then he's something. So love to hear you, Joe. I'm watching your eyes, Bill. I love what you're doing, brother.
Fred, appreciate you, buddy. I love the call got all the way through because it sounded like there's a ticking time bomb in the background. That is the clock ticking down on the notion the Giants are in good shape. Look, you are hapless in the present tense. To be fair, the Cubs won a World Series in 2016. They are hapless. The Cavaliers, Cleveland Cavaliers, won an NBA championship in 2016. They are hapless. Although Ricky Rubio did look like Michael Jordan against Team USA in that Olympics showdown the other night. The Giants are not in a good spot. But I love the call, man, and I love the optimism. And I love the optimism for your Knicks. It is always better for every sport, but the NBA in particular, when the teams in New York City and LA are good. It is a significant, significant advantage. I mean, one of the reasons that I think baseball should be in a better position to market itself nationally is the NL West. The Dodgers are insanely talented, and that Trey Turner, Max Scherzer addition is unfair. The Padres, by the way, are still kind of in, you know, you get into that wild card game, you win that game, it's a one game playoff. We've seen teams in the past, the Giants themselves won a World Series several years ago and played, if memory serves, and I think it does, played in the World Series, a Royals team that also won their play-in game. So don't count the Padres out. If they can get in, they can win that game. Padres and the Dodgers don't like each other, and the Giants and the Dodgers have been rivals for so long, and all of a sudden the Giants might be the best team in baseball. And you throw into the mix that one of the hatred, vitriol, a lack of respect, those are the ingredients for really good sports drama. I don't want everybody to be friends. I don't want everyone to get along. I want athletes and teams and coaches to loathe each other, to dream about not just victory, but the destruction of the other side's careers. I do. It's great drama. It doesn't happen enough. It's happening right now between the Astros and the Dodgers. You know the reason. That Astros team that cheated, banged on trash cans, inspired executive producer of the Jim Rome Show, Tom DiBenedetto, who's in my fantasy baseball league, to name his team Two Banged It's a Trash Can. And when he realized his team was not very good, rename it just Trash Cans because they're trash. And then to selfishly play me this week and actually put up some numbers. When you play Tom, this is true, Tom, I'm sorry. It's a head-to-head, 5x5 league. You have to go 9-1 or 8-2 against Tom to sort of stay in the rankings. Tom's having a rough year. It doesn't help when 79% of your team is injured. Basically, Tom's fantasy team is next year's Lakers. It looked good on paper, but no one could stay healthy. And that trash can thing with the Astros. Remember, the Astros beat the Dodgers in that tainted, I think it's still tainted, World Series. And the Dodgers in particular feel like they were robbed of an opportunity. And so at Astros-Dodgers last night, two-game series, all these inflatable trash cans, which whoever brought that, wherever you are, whoever went out and, I don't go to the inflatable goods store very often, so I don't know if it's easy to get yourself an inflatable trash can. I'm gonna guess the answer is no. You are a national treasure, sir. You should be given the key to the city of Los Angeles. Delay the game. But it's a perfect metaphor for the Astros. They won that game. They won 3-0. They shut out a Dodgers offense that's really good, really good. And they did it against Walker Buehler, who's the ace of the Dodgers. Astros are good. And the Dodgers now are, what, 3.5 games, I think, behind the Giants. We've got time. I get it. Dodgers have Max Scherzer. Dodgers have Trey Turner. Dodgers still have Julio Urias. Dodgers have Buehler, who lost last night. Their bullpen's a little suspect. Lineup is stacked. Seager coming back. Bellinger has forgotten how to hit the baseball, but you'd presume maybe he'll get back to the spot that he needs to be. Mookie Betts back from injury. They could win 11 out of 14 games, but I've been saying that all year about the Yankees, and that's not true. You're looking at a potential, I would love it, Dodgers-Padres play-in game. And the winner of that game, if that happens, we've got a ways to go, can still win a World Series. And the big push for the Dodgers, and the big reason you can't write them out of winning the NL West for what would be the 9th year in a row is Max Scherzer. I love Trey Turner, Max Scherzer, and he's playing tonight. He's going against the Astros. I think it'll be a really interesting, because that game, the hatred between the Dodgers and the Astros, the inflatable trash cans, which are funny, all of the very candid criticism that Dodgers players have directed personally to Astros, it's good. It's good theater. That means the Astros treat that game like it's a World Series game, like it's a playoff game. It actually is a good litmus test for where the Dodgers are at. Max Scherzer, former National, big addition. Talked yesterday, I think it was yesterday, about, and it's a little monotone. Got to hear the words, not the tone of voice, because Max Scherzer's trying to just keep it cool. He went to the University of Missouri, and like all Missouri people, you know, all University of Missouri people, we try not to, it's like going to Harvard. You don't want to be too braggadocio with your words because it's such, this is sarcasm, by the way, because going to Mizzou is such a big deal. Here is Max Scherzer. Ritt looks so confused, chopping broccoli. Here is Max Scherzer yesterday on Being a Dodger.
I'm glad I'm part of an organization that wants to win and has their sights on the ultimate prize. I mean, that's what we play the game for, is to do that. I've been in the league long enough to know that those things just don't always happen, and things don't always fall into place the way they do. It takes a lot of work, takes a lot of team chemistry, takes everybody playing the best baseball they can in October. In October baseball, funny things happen sometimes. So, I understand why we're here. I understand we have a great team, and the fans should feel that way. But as a player, you can only control what you can control. You can't worry about other people's expectations. All I can do is go out there and pitch my game.
Best team in baseball, best roster in baseball. If the Dodgers' very realistic hopes of a World Series comes down to one game against anybody, including the Padres, if it's a coin flip, there needs to be a conversation about why Andrew Friedman allowed Farhan Zaidi to interview for the job of the Giants and turn them around in 2 years of the best team in baseball. All right, let's do this. I want to play a game. It involves Mark Medina, who is a USA Today national NBA writer, and I would say it's a 98% chance he's not listening right now here on the Jim Rome Show. Medina's up next. He's my friend, and we get into it a lot because I think he's overly positive about the teams that he talks about and writes about sometimes. He thinks that I'm harsh in the extreme and I should chill the bleep out. I'm going to ask him whether you should be optimistic or negative about this Lakers signing, this free agency period, in which they cornered the market on AARP players. I would bet $1,000. I'm not betting you. I guess if you want to hit me up, sportswriter, sports, R-E-I-T-E-R, just wait, because I'm pretty sure Mark Medina is going to scoff and explain why the Lakers made amazing moves. We're going to find out. Oh, yeah, Ritt wants some of this action, chopping broccoli. Mark Medina on the Jim Rome Show next after we get a CBS Sports Radio update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for hanging out on this Wednesday. Appreciate you. Jim, still on vacation. Back next week. Sklar Brothers in tomorrow. Hit me up, Sports Writer, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. One of my favorite NBA writers and reporters is Mark Medina. Now at USA Today as a national NBA writer, covered the Warriors, covered the Lakers here in LA before that. Mark_Medina on Twitter. Medina, you're a big enough deal. It's time to drop the G. Who is Mark Medina? Is it like some guy that hasn't tweeted since 2009? We got to get Twitter on this.
I have no idea. All I know is when I try to do the, you know, just the first and last name, it wasn't possible. So I had to go with the middle initial and the underscore because I'm not that big of a deal, to be honest.
I mean, the G does stand for great, and it's going to be great to hear your take here. I started the show, with two interpretations of the Lakers' free agency moves. The first, you know, Russell Westbrook's out of the mix, Melo, you got some shooters, you got some discounts. The second, this is a group of octogenarians and stars who have never been successful outside of LeBron and AD in the postseason. Which view do you subscribe to? What is your take on the Lakers roster as now currently constructed?
Well, it's funny you outlined it there because I did a column basically sifting through that same idea that, you know, on paper it's an NBA championship contending roster, but on paper it's also a combustible roster. I wouldn't be surprised either way. I don't have enough confidence to bet money on it, but if I had to take a guess, I'm more optimistic that things will work out because when you look at, you know, Russell Westbrook and Carmelo Anthony, yes, they've certainly have been used to being star players. They've certainly had their struggles with, you know, playing team-oriented ball. But the context is they're at the end of their career. They've done a lot of things, you know, with the exception of winning a title, and they've shown in recent years more of an openness of, you know, shifting their role. And then I think that, you know, for all the sacrifices the Lakers made with getting Russell Westbrook and a deal with the Washington Wizards, with, you know, leaving away some of their young pieces, they still were able to make other moves to get young players and also to fulfill positional needs with three-point shooting and defense. But at the end of the day, I'll read it off to you here. Carmelo Anthony's 37, LeBron James 36, Marc Gasol 36, Trevor Ariza 36, Dwight Howard 35, Wayne Ellington 32, Kent Bazemore 32, Russell Westbrook 32. When you add those many players that are past their prime or nearing it, you can't help but wonder, well, injuries become a concern. You add in Anthony Davis. He's only 28, but he's had a checkered injury history. So there are a lot of, I think, encouraging things, but there's also a lot of signs that could point to this becoming a disaster. And, you know, with the Lakers, it's always entertaining one way or the other.
Mark Medina here on the Jim Rome Show. As you might have guessed, I come down on the more pessimistic side, Mr. Medina.
Of course you do, Bill.
Yeah. Well, we can't all, you know, we can't all see the glasses half full when this glass is actually a quarter full. Here's my concern. Well, let me ask you the question this way, Mark G underscore Medina, G for great. Even if they're all healthy, what kind of a defensive team is this? Because this was a great defensive squad last year. It does not look to me like it is likely to be a great defensive squad this year.
Yeah, they're taking a step back defensively, but they still have some good defenders that can be reinforcements. I mean, that's one of the reasons why they got Dwight Howard. That might be a concession that they regretted letting him leave last season to Philadelphia. You know, I think to a man individually, Wayne Ellington, Trevor Ariza are good defenders. Talen Horton Tucker, one of the reasons why they retained him is they're, you know, encouraged with his growth in that area. Kendrick Nunn and Malik Monk are good defenders too. But I think the issue, and I think it'll play both ways, both offensively and defensively, is that even if you have a buy-in for most of the guys, it's just a lot of new pieces, and that's going to leave Frank Vogel with a lot of challenges of just implementing new things, experimenting with rotations. You know, I think the positive thing is that unlike having a lot of young guys, because they're veterans, they know how to play the game. But when you're dealing with, you know, how do you adjust your roles and how do you figure out what the right combinations are, it's good that they have a training camp and a whole regular season, but there will come to a point where you can't be doing this the entire run. So, yeah, there's a lot of challenges from an X's and O's standpoint that Frank Vogel will have, as well as a lot of challenges with managing different personalities. And, you know, Frank Vogel has shown in his short time as a Lakers head coach that he's good with managing both star players and role players, good with making tweaks to his rotations, but this is also a whole other animal. So it'll again be filled with a lot of interesting twists and turns.
And you said it, Mark Medina. They, if nothing else, the Lakers are always interesting. The Clippers, too, for vastly different reasons over the course of their existence, but they're clearly a contender if Kawhi Leonard returns. He's the name we're all waiting for. I know you are for work. I certainly am for work. Clippers fans, all seven of them are, for what's going to happen this upcoming season. I know it's guesswork. I know very few people know what's going on with Kawhi Leonard and in his mind where he's at. So your best guess, educated or otherwise, where do you think he's just sitting around waiting for the inevitable signing of his contract with the Clippers? Or do you think it's possible he could be somewhere else next season?
You never say never with Kawhi Leonard, but the sense I get, you know, the Clippers are still optimistic that both, you know, he and Reggie Jackson are coming back. I think when you're just looking at how the market is playing out, I mean, even if Kawhi wanted to talk with other teams, it's not like the 29 other teams waited to make moves. When you're looking at the Miami Heat, which was been linked as a possibility, they did their own thing already. So I just don't see, both from the fact that, you know, the Clippers have a good roster, they've placated to him, and elsewhere, there's really no other scenario but for him to come back. So my guess is it's more about sifting through, educated guess, it's more about sifting through what the terms of the deal are. Does he want to go the one-year option? Does he want to go multi-year? And if it is multi-year, does he want to do 1+1 or a four-year? And the reality for the Clippers, unfortunately, short term, is they have to wrestle with the strong likelihood that Kawhi's not even going to be there next year regardless anyway because of just his injury situation. So, you know, they're having to put together a roster with trying to retain as many players as they can with the hopes that they can at least be competitive in the mix next season, knowing that Kawhi is going to be on the sidelines for most, if not all, of next season.
Mark Medina, I want to get on this optimism train with you. I want to feel the positivity. So I'm going to go to a team that I really like what the Chicago Bulls have done. I look at their roster. I look at their team. I look at their head coach. And I think this could be a really competitive basketball team. Do you have a similar view of Lonzo Ball plus Zach LaVine plus DeRozan, Patrick Williams, and Vucevic?
Yeah, it's cool that the Bulls went in for a while. They were kind of just seen as this middling team that is not relevant. And I think they have a really good mix of players. And, you know, it remains to be seen how the roles will iron out when you're looking at Lonzo Ball and Alex Caruso and DeMar DeRozan. But I think the encouraging thing is, to your point, they have a really good coach with Billy Donovan. And the fact that they're about just collecting talent and spending money is an encouraging sign. Zach LaVine has shown promise as a young player, but he had been hopeful of taking the next step where he's showing, hey, he's not just an empty calories guy. He can be like what Devin Booker was with the Suns, where his strong play is actually leading to winning basketball. And I think, in fairness to Booker and for LaVine, a lot of it had to do with they didn't really have good talent around them. So this allows that to take place. And so while there certainly will be questions of what Lonzo will look like, what Caruso will look like, what DeRozan will look like from a chemistry standpoint, it's much easier to work out those problems when you have talent as opposed to the alternative. So, yeah, propel them as a playoff team, and they have a pretty good ceiling. They're not, you know, going to be contenders by any stretch. That still belongs to Brooklyn and Milwaukee, but, you know, they're finally back in the thick of things after being in the lottery for a while.
Mark Medina from USA Today here on the Jim Rome Show. Medina, who, starting today, so not past accomplishments, who wins more championships going forward? Kevin Durant or Luka Doncic?
Ooh. I would think Kevin Durant. You know, he already is up 2-0 on Luka.
No, from here. Think. They're both at 0 right now. So they started.
Okay, they're 0 right now?
Yep, from this moment on. It's a tough one.
Yeah, I would. It is a tough one. I would guess Luka only because his career is just getting started. And so while obviously I wouldn't be surprised if Kevin Durant collects his third ring next season, and he's in his prime. Like, Luka hasn't even reached his prime. He's just scratching the surface, and the Mavericks are expected to be a much better team after making head coaching changes and some roster tweaks. And it remains to be seen if that's enough. But, you know, Luka is seen as, you know, the best player of this upcoming generation. I think Kevin Durant right now is the best player in the NBA, but Luka will be once the torch is passed. So I'd give it to Luka, but you could make a case for either.
I love it. Same tricky question, different players. Steph Curry or Trae Young going forward?
Ooh.
Or push at 0?
That is a tricky question. Yeah. I'd go with Steph because, you know, look, we don't know. I don't think the Warriors are ever going to be the Dynasty Warriors again, but, you know, they took care of Steph with that extension, and the fact that Steph agreed to that really shows that he was backing up his words, that he places trust in the organization. And while, you know, it might be easy to say that when you're making a lot of money, like, he also has the leverage to shake trees. So I think the Warriors are due for a title or two still with Steph, but they're not going to, like, be repeating by any stretch. But I think that Steph has a much better chance because he's going to have a healthy Klay next season. He and Draymond have a great chemistry together, and while the verdict's out on how well these young guys are going to develop with James Wiseman's second year and Jonathan Kuminga's rookie season, I think, if nothing else, they're solid rotation players that will give them a chance to be like what the Spurs were back in the day, always in the mix, and you never know when the stars align in the postseason.
I hope so. I mean, the Warriors are so much fun to watch when they're actually the Warriors. Last one, 30 seconds. Not where he'll be, but realistically, what is the best fit for Ben Simmons, both for Ben Simmons and a team if they are to land him? Is it Golden State? Is it Portland? I'm missing somebody?
Well, I don't think Golden State's going to take him. I thought that Portland would be the best fit. But I don't sense that either side is really interested in that deal. I think from the Sixers' perspective, they would want much more than C.J. McCollum. It would be a lot of draft picks and other assets, and I don't think that Portland's really interested in doing that kind of deal, even if that upgrades their defense, because they feel like, you know, that they would then leave themselves vulnerable in the offensive end. So, you know, I know the Sixers are looking for that, you know, blockbuster deal, but there's also a possibility he just stays put and they have to make the best of it.
Mark Medina, I love having you on my show in the morning, the Jim Rome Show, when I'm lucky enough to fill in here. It is great stuff. Appreciate you. Following you on Twitter at MarkG_Medina, which we got to get changed. I'm gonna effort that. I'm going to find out who the hell's Mark Medina and see if, you know, they want to turn it over. And we'll be reading you at USA Today. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you.
I appreciate you, man.
Yeah, see you, man. Mark Medina on the show. That was a very balanced reason Lakers answer. And he's right, by the way. It really could go one of two very different directions. My concern is that Dwight Howard teams, Carmelo Anthony teams sometimes, and Westbrook teams all the time, often do very well in the regular season and then flame out in the postseason. I know it's a different situation. LeBron changes everything. I'm just not optimistic. And I know Ben Simmons is not going to be a Warrior because they didn't pull the trigger on the trade. I would have traded Wiseman and two or three first-round picks and whatever else I needed for Ben Simmons. I think Ben Simmons would have been a perfect fit with that team, but that's me. That's my take. I'm not Bob Myers. And he's the guy that got to make the decision. Let's talk some baseball. Let's talk some Dodgers, Astros, some Scherzer, Cubs tearing down the whole thing with Rob Dibble, who's basically the go-to baseball guest when I'm on the show. I love Dibs. He's such a good guy. Absolutely candid. Rob Dibble, talking MLB, on the Jim Rome Show in a moment here.